Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning on a beautiful Sunday morning, the first day of our week, and after an amazing day yesterday. Wasn't that beautiful? It was. We praise the Lord for the weather all of this week. So welcome. A few announcements I have to go over before we go on with our worship service. First of all, we do have coffee hour today following church, so if you can stay and just have a time of fellowship and goodies afterwards, that would be wonderful. Secondly, a week from today, next Sunday, will be our Mission Fest services. And as I've been announcing, the Reinholds from Rainbow Bible Ranch out by Sturgis, they are going to be our speakers. We've had some of our children go to camp out there. They've all had great experiences. We've had Mr. Reinhold, Reinhold. He's spoken at our FCA banquet some years back. And I talked to him this week, and I just asked, I said, could I have some ideas of things you're working on, projects out there at the ranch? And so he told me three things they're working on. Just, I want to share this as you're thinking about what you would like to give. Our whole offering, 90% of it will go to Rainbow Bible Ranch, the other 10% here to Menno, our Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So they are moving in an old country church onto the Bible camp there. I guess probably something like what we have at the Power Show, where they are actually going to then have Sunday evening services all through the summer and fall. And of course, they'll be using it with the children and youth as they come out to camp for services and all. Secondly, their dining room at the camp needs a remodel. The floor and the lighting they have to redo. I don't know all the specifics. And third, there is a zip line out there. Maybe some of you that have been there have been on that. But they're building a cabin down there by that. And that's about a $4,000 project, he said. So those are just some ideas. Please know that we have potluck dinner next Sunday as well afterwards, so bring plenty so we have enough for us and our guests. Plenty to share, all right? Just a quick note on the FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We've just been having a great year with that. We have a large group of, it's for 8th grade through high schoolers, a large group that comes every Wednesday. This last Wednesday, we actually had the FCA leader from Armour High School he came over, he's a teacher there and a coach, and he shared and he brought, it was at least 15 to 20 of his high school kids along over. So we probably had 60 high schoolers there. Wow. Wednesday night. It was just an amazing time.
Praise
the Lord for that. A couple other things. The Menno Olivet Care Center, there's a meeting next Sunday afternoon at 2. So you can be here, have your lunch, visit, go down. It's for the shareholders and the community. Just some decisions that have to be made and things talked about. So very important meeting. Let me see. The rest of the announcements, I will let you read. Oh, Operation Christmas Child. That, I was handed a note here by somebody that said the boxes are larger this year. If you want the Samaritan Purse boxes, and you can get them at Calvary Baptist Church in Yankton. And the date, we thought it was November 1st. Actually, we have until November 17th to bring those in. These are filling shoe boxes for children around the world. This is all through Billy Graham Ministries that this happens. There's a little display table out in the social hall there. Anything else, Patsy, that I need to add?
Well, I did order the cardboard shoe boxes through Samaritan Purse.
Okay.
So when they come in, they will be available, and whoever would like to use that type of box is more than willing, more than welcome, I should say, to take one or two or three or five.
Okay. Very good, thank you. Patsy says she has ordered some of the cardboard boxes from Samaritan Purse, if you prefer to use those, which is very fine. One thought as far as getting the plastic sealed little tote thing is then they have something that is waterproof. You know, where they live, I mean, any little, to us we might think, oh, big deal. To them, it is a huge deal to have a sealable plastic container like that. Okay? All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you just with excitement in our hearts and lives and minds. We come before your throne as we humble ourselves in your presence and under your mighty hand. For you are the God Most High, our Heavenly Father. You are the Ancient of Days, and we love you. And we love your presence as we sang that chorus, oh, the glory of your presence. And Father, we say, as the psalmist said, come and rise to your rest and be blessed by our praise today as we glory in your embrace, the embrace of your presence. Lord, there truly is no other place we would rather be than right here with you, worshiping together with our brothers and sisters in Christ in your manifested presence. Help us to do that, Father, by the Holy Spirit of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first hymn will be number 562 in the hymnal. 562, Be Thou My Vision. Let's stand together as we sing this.
Thank you.
is. He is our everything, for it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Here. Some things, of course, that I have down that we'll start off with. First of all, the Menno Marion Razorback football team gets to go to the playoffs, so that's exciting. And they get to travel all the way out to Lemon, South Dakota, way out there. So that game is on Thursday evening, I think Thursday. I know it's Thursday, I guess Thursday evening. So I'll be praying for them for safe travels, and I'm sure Freeman, Canastota, I don't know where Mark's at. Where do they go? Huh? Oh, of course, I suppose. They're playing in Canastota, yeah. Thank you. Also, prayers for the family of Orville Houck. Orville passed this last Wednesday, I believe it was, I think. Okay. His visitation will be at Peace Christian Reformed Church from 5 to 7:30 this evening. The funeral is tomorrow morning at 10:30 at Peace Church there. Also, prayers for Tina and Michael Seiler, the family. I would think most are aware of this, but maybe not all. There, Tina's son Ty, who is a junior, I believe, at Freeman High School. There was an attempt at suicide on Thursday night. Very unfortunate, of course. He is at McKinnon Hospital in intensive care. So just we're praying for him, for the family, in all of this. Couple pretty neat things, though, as a result of this. I know Ann showed me something on Facebook. She's on it. I'm not. On Friday at lunch here at the high school, pretty amazing picture. Apparently it must have been most of the 6th grade through 12th graders that were all gathered in a very large circle in the old gym praying for this young man. Yesterday I was asked, there was guys working for out there to bring in the beans of Michael Seiler's, and I was asked if I would come out there. Excuse me, and have a prayer time at 3 o'clock. They said, we'll shut the combines down, get all the kids out there that want to come, and we're going to have prayer. And so we did. I suppose there's about 60 of us out there too. So, neat things as a result of a big tragedy. Someone said, too bad it has to take a tragedy though to bring that to happen. I suppose that's another way to think of it, but praise the Lord, we do come together in prayer, and that's important. Just continued prayers for Myrna Herbold. She is back at the care center here in Menno now, recovering. It's just difficult recovery after her two hip surgeries that she had, but she's coming along. So I guess that's where I'll stop here. Any other things that you might have? I see Skylar has his, Hayden has his hand up. When is today? Today is Hayden Dangle's birthday. How old are you? What? And your grandma's birthday. Same day, huh? How old are you? 4? 5? Happy birthday. All right. Okay. Carrie Dyke. Tomorrow, 49. Happy birthday, Alan Dyke, tomorrow. I thought it was 50. You sure? Okay, not yet. Happy birthday, Alan. All right. Was there another hand back there? No? Oh, Eliana. Yeah, today is Devin and Alyssa Bent's anniversary. Number 7. Happy anniversary to you guys. Dawn, did you have your hand? Okay. Dawn has a friend needing prayers regarding a job opportunity and situation. All right. We will lift that up. Anybody over here? Rachel. Caleb Stepanek's birthday is this Thursday. Happy birthday, Caleb. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Thank you for the card and gifts.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for the card and gifts, gift from the congregation, too. And a coconut cream pie with real meringue on top. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in you always, in your goodness. Thank you for birthdays, for anniversaries. Lord, for your power at work in the midst and amongst our young people. In the midst of a very difficult situation. And Lord, we do want to lift up Ty Balvin and Tina and Michael Seiler and the rest of their family for all the classmates of Ty. Lord, first as we lift Ty up, we just pray for your healing touch there. Lord, from little reports that we've received, we need some miracles. We know that is according to your will. But we also know that you are a miracle-working God, that with you all things are possible. So I pray that you would overwhelm this young man with your presence and your love, that he would see and be able to be aware of this outpouring of support towards him and his family. Lord, that we would all know that with you there is always hope. You are the God of all hope. You are the God of all comfort. That there is never anything so great that you cannot handle or give us the strength to walk through. And because you live, we can face tomorrow. Father, because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. Because Jesus lives, we know in him we can face the future. No matter what comes. Let these young people know that, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. We pray for the children and families of Orville Houck at his home going this last week, and we ask you to comfort them through this evening and through tomorrow, the celebration of his life, the service that will take place. We thank you, Father, for being with these many listed in our bulletin with physical health needs in their bodies. We pray for Myrna Herbolt and just renew her strength during this time of recovery. We ask for Louis Fierst and Elmer Nath. Pray for Jerry Nuss and Belva Heckenleibel in chemo treatments. And Lord, there's many others listed here that are in need of your healing touch. And we thank you for giving strength to each and every one of them and wisdom to the doctors in all of these situations. Lord, for the weather, thank you for a beautiful week. Thank you for allowing some harvest to be done. Lord, we don't know what today will hold, but you do. And of course, Lord, our request would be that the showers could hold off. And we lift that up to you and ask that. But thank you, Lord, for making a way to bring in what is out there, Lord. Thank you for all the neighbors helping each other in many ways. I hear wonderful reports of everyone helping each other. And let us be sensitive to that, that just because we're done, maybe we'd look towards others who need help to get done and share in that way. Father, for our troops, we pray the blood of Jesus Christ over them every day. Keep them safe as they serve around the world and at home here. Lord, we pray for our president and vice president, our military leaders and commanders. We pray for our congressmen and women, that you would reign supreme, Lord, in our nation and in their hearts and in their minds, to guide their decisions, Lord. Help them to work together, not be so against each other always, Father. We pray for nations around the world that are in very difficult situations. Father, watch over those families and those children, Lord. We thank you for our care center here in Menno that we are so grateful for, and it is such a blessing to this community. Lord, thank you for helping us through decisions and that we can make a way through this, Father. Thank you for all that serve on the board and all that work there and all that live there, as it is a place of refuge for those who need it in that time of their lives. Lord, for the one, Don's friend, who's praying about this job situation, you know the details, and we lift that one up to you as well. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. I always pray read this in the fall of the year, but I certainly think about it. It's appropriate all through the year. Proverbs 3 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and then your vats will brim over with new wine." That's a promise of God throughout the year, whatever we do. So in place of the doxology today, we are going to sing the Lord's Prayer when that time comes. Let's receive our offering, please. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we praise you, for you are sovereign over all of your creation, over all of the plans of the past, over all of the plans yet to come. You rule. And Lord, it is our honor and privilege to speak to you in prayer. It is our honor and privilege to bring our tithes and our offerings, the first fruits of all of our increase here, to worship you in such a way, sowing this as seed into your kingdom, which is the best of all. And Lord, I thank you, for you are the one who does provide for all of our needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus, that though we go through difficult times on this earth, we know that there is never lack nor shortage in your realm nor from your storehouse. And so we give and we sow this as seed by faith in Jesus' name. And Father, together we confess our faith before you now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. As they're coming, let me say one more quick announcement here. It is in the insert of your bulletin. This is about a senior project that Hillary Wade is doing for the River City Domestic Violence Shelter down in Yankton, to which she volunteered at this summer. We do have the donation box out there today. It was brought.
Here. I think it's just in here.
Where back. Is it at?
In the back.
In the social hall? Oh. In the narthex.
No, I think it's...
Oh, it's at the back. Yeah. There is a basket there. Okay. We'll have it there for more than today or... Okay. Yeah. This is part of it for the project she's doing, the supplies and all, and whatever would come in over that will go to the women who come here to this shelter. So, okay.
Okay. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How are you today? It's great to see all your smiling faces. Well, I brought something with me this morning. Let me see what it is. Oh, it's popcorn. Oh, it's empty. Oh, you know what? I think Pastor Mike ate it all. Do you think? Does he like popcorn? He does. I like it too. Well, this goes with something that reminds me of popcorn. When is one time when you eat popcorn? When you go to the movies, right? When you go to the movies. And what else do you like to eat there? Since I don't have enough to share here. Candy. You like candy. What else? Something to drink. Pop. Yeah. How about these? Do you ever take these? Did your mom or dad ever take these in their pocket? Fruit snacks. I might have a few of these to share. Well, you know, and when you go to the movie theater before the show that you came to see is, there's always previews, right? There's previews of movies that are coming out. And do you know of any movie that you want to see that's coming out soon? Sleeping Beauty. Toy Story 4. Lord Fish. Okay. The Addams Family. How about Frozen 2? Anybody interested in that one? Yeah. Well, so those often tell us of a date, okay? I think I saw that Frozen 2 is coming out in November. Oh, and Peter Rabbit 2. So we know a date when those are coming soon. So we kind of watch for those, right? We watch, we wait, and when it comes, if we get to go see it, we go, right? But there's also some movies that you'll see up on a screen that are coming out, but we don't know when they're coming out. Guess what? Clifford, they're making the Big Red Dog movie. The movie. Do you guys like Clifford? Or when you were younger, some of you do, right? But this doesn't tell us when it's coming out. It doesn't give us a date. So we just have to really watch for that, right? Well, that kind of reminds me of something that we are looking forward to, too. As boys and girls, as parents who love Jesus, we are looking for Jesus to come back, for him to come back soon. See, one of the things that he told his disciples before he left them was that he would come back again. He would come back again and get them. And they said, well, when? When is this going to happen, Jesus? And Jesus said, nobody knows the day or the hour, not even the angels, only the Father knows. So that picture shows one day Jesus is going to come for us, and he's going to take us to heaven. So we need to be ready, it tells us in Matthew 24:44. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man, Jesus, he comes when we don't know when he's coming. We don't know the exact hour. So we need to be ready. How do you think that boys and girls can be ready for Jesus to come back? What can we be doing? We're getting ready for him, right? We can be praying to him. We can be reading the Bible. We can be loving each other and being kind, doing the things he told us to do. Like there's some boxes out there that are just waiting for food to be put in them so we can give to the food bank, right? Yeah, we can help with that. There's many, many things we can do. But the most important thing is that we are ready every day. We need to confess our sins, right? When we mess up, when we lie, when we do anything that's wrong, what do we need to do? Say we're sorry and ask God to forgive us, right? Through Jesus. So are we going to be ready? Are we going to be ready and waiting for when Jesus comes back? All right, I am too. We're going to be readying our life, okay? So let's pray, and then I have a little treat for you. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you that you are going to send your Son at a time we don't know, a day we don't know, an hour we don't know, but we know you are, because your word tells us, and Jesus tells us that. And you tell us to be ready. Help us all to look into our hearts and our lives, examine ourselves to see if we need to change anything or to confess anything or to change how we act at school or at home or with our friends. Help us each to know what to do. Help these boys and girls to be a light shining for you wherever they go, whether they stay at home or go to the daycare or the babysitter or school or their jobs. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so you can come and get one and then go get your paper.
Okay, thank you, Anne. Well, the kids are going back to their seats. Let's sing number 762. What a day that will be.
Thank you.
be a glorious day. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for Jesus and the promises of your word as we do look forward to your second coming with great joy and excitement and anticipation. But Father, we as well, we thank you for your word, the very living word of God that is so readily accessible to us today in every way we could ever imagine. And we thank you for this time where we can gather and sit at your feet and listen to your word and look into your word and ask that you speak to us, to our hearts and lives and minds as we endeavor to live for you. And Lord, I would ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit, that my words would not be just with enticing words of men's wisdom, but that they could be by the demonstration of the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Psalm 132, part 2. We started on this last Sunday. Psalm 132, verse 1. O Lord, remember David and all the hardships he endured. He swore an oath to the Lord and made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes, no slumber to my eyelids, till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jair. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with righteousness. May your saints sing for joy. For the sake of David, your servant, do not reject your anointed one. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne, if your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them. Then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor will I satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints will ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn grow for David and set up a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but the crown on his head will be resplendent. Amen. So, again, this is one of our Psalms of Ascent, 15 of them. This is the 13th out of the 15 as they go in order, as they sang them, the people of Israel going to the temple and at various other times. Last Sunday, we went through the first 10 verses as we looked through that. So just a quick review on that. In that, we see David, a very intense passion that he had for the Lord's presence and worshiping him. We saw that when Saul was king of Israel, Saul was the first king of Israel. He reigned for 40 years. Started out okay. As the years went on, he went backwards. He let jealousy and pride enter in. He was consumed with himself rather than with the Lord God and God's presence. And so the Ark of the Covenant in those 40 years had pretty much become lost to the people of Israel. They had forgot where it was, and Saul never inquired of the before the Ark of the Lord, which is where the presence of God was manifest in those Old Testament years. It says he rarely inquired of the Lord. Very sad. We don't ever want to get to that place in our lives. David becomes king, and right off the bat, He starts searching and he makes this vow to the Lord, an oath, and he says, I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes, no slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Yes, you might think, be saying, well, I thought God's everywhere. He is. But he manifested himself there at the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, in the temple, or of course it was the tabernacle prior to the temple. So David makes this oath, swears this oath, and they go searching for it. We thought it was in Ephrathah, that's Bethlehem, 5 miles from Jerusalem. Go look. Nope, wasn't there. We found it in Jair, Kiriath-Jearim, about 9 miles the other direction, northwest out of Bethlehem. It's called the Fields of the Wood is where that's found. It was a very out-of-the-way place. And there sat the Ark of the Covenant with the people of Kiriath-Jearim. They were being blessed beyond measure as they took care of the Ark. It's amazing what we can find in out-of-the-way places, huh? God's presence is everywhere. I think of Anne. She got moved. She didn't know I was going to share this. She's shaking her head. It's not bad. She came to know the Lord up in Alaska, of all places. Not that that's a bad place. She had gone through college there in Flagstaff, had Nathan, little baby. Moved up to Alaska, her first job as a speech therapist, and that is where she found the Lord, or as we would say, that's where God found her, revealed himself to her, drew her to himself, and she received Christ as her Savior up there. I think of our years at Cameron with the Navajo people, those 11 years, that's just an out-of-the-way place, really. Some of you have been there. Most recent, Mike and Joanne Walter. They even went down that old dirt road and found a little bitty church, right? And drove around it. And I tell you, talk about an out-of-the-way place. And when I first went there out of seminary and half the windows were busted out in the church and just they'd put pieces of plywood up in the windows and it was a mess. But I want to tell you, in that very out-of-the-way place, we had some of the most amazing times of worship in the presence of the Lord. Incredible. Then up to Timber Lake, not quite so much out of the way, but a little bit. And that church we had there was in an old rundown funeral home for the early years of our time. The ceiling leaked. Why didn't you fix it? Well, it takes money to fix it. When you don't have any money, it's hard to fix it, right? It leaked. Every time it rained on a Sunday service or Wednesday night service, the buckets were set out. And you know what? It didn't bother anybody. It certainly didn't bother the Lord. Now, I'm saying, yes, we take care of our building, and you do an amazing job here. Incredible. But there, too, we had some of the most amazing times in the presence of the Lord. Incredible. And here as well. The roof only has leaked once since I've been here. Whoo, that was a deal. When we were putting on these steel shingles a couple years back and the rainstorm came in when it wasn't forecast and about we were scrambling, but praise the Lord. Because they longed, David longed for God's presence. And we need to as well. And so David makes this oath in the first verses, swears an oath to the Lord, I am not going to rest until we find the ark and bring it to its rightful place. And you know what? Today, as we look on verse 11 and 12, guess what? God responded. Now God responds, the Lord, in these verses today. Verse 11, the Lord then swore an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke. And this is what it was. David, one of your own descendants, I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. That's God's oath to David and beyond. So what about that? In this, there's a couple things we're going to look at today. With this, this is a promise that God is making. Now, with God's promises, number one, if you're filling in your outline there, first, there's two parts to this promise. One is, it is a conditional promise. A conditional promise. We see the if, then, right? Look, listen again. This is God's promise to David. If your sons keep my covenant and statutes that I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. Naturally speaking, this is a conditional promise that God is giving to David. As long as the sons would be faithful to God and his word, they would rule. So David, yes, does an amazing job, 40 years. His son Solomon, next. Starts out okay. God blesses him with wisdom and riches beyond anyone on the planet. He gets all these foreign wives from false gods, and they bring their false gods into Jerusalem, and it's just down, 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 down. And by the time Solomon's reign ends, after another 40 years, things are very bad in Israel. Matter of fact, it comes to a split, if you know the account. There was a large group of people. Also, Solomon's son was Rehoboam. He was entitled, the next one, to step up. And there was also another man named Jeroboam, who was not in the line, but a large group of people were following Jeroboam. And the people came to Rehoboam and said, "Man, the load is too heavy. The taxes, the burden, it is too heavy. You need, Rehoboam, you need to lighten it up." And Rehoboam consults the elders first of his father, and they're like, "Yeah, you need to lighten it up." Then he consults his own age group people, and they're like, "Don't lighten it up. Increase it. You need to increase the burden on them." And so 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel say, "We're done. We are done." And they follow Jeroboam, and off they go. Two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, stay with Rehoboam. And I tell you, the 10 northern tribes, from there to when they were carried off into captivity by Assyria, never a godly king all the way down. Never. Judah, the two tribes, before they were hauled off into captivity by Babylon, there were 20 kings from Rehoboam all the way down till captivity. If you'd look through the book of the Kings and Chronicles, you'd see actually 8 of the 20 did what was pleasing in God's sight. Not even half, but at least it was 8 of them. And they would have periods of revival in the land, and they'd get rid of the idols and burn them and crush them and get them out. There was one string of actually 4 kings in a row that were godly men, bringing the nation back to God and his word. But then you'd have one that didn't know the Lord and just go off and bring all that false idolatry back. And so it went. So it went. So that promise was conditional. What about other promises in our lives? There are many promises that God gives that are conditional based on our actions and our response. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Now the word "then," okay, is not in the verse. It is implied in there, all right? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That regards our salvation, doesn't it? How about the catechism, question number 20? This ties in with that verse. Listen to what we just had this last week with the kids. It said, "Are all saved through Christ? Just as all were lost through Adam? No, the answer is no. What? We were all lost. We all have the sin nature because of Adam and Eve. We are all born that way. Everyone on the planet, no matter what race of people we are. So it's not just automatic. I was sort of watching a show here the other night of this minister years back that used to be in Tulsa, had a very large church, preaching the gospel, preaching that Jesus was the only way. All of a sudden, guess what? He felt he had a revelation from the Lord. And what was that revelation? That everybody on the planet is saved. Doesn't matter what you believe. Jesus did it for everybody, no matter what. And he got into that false doctrine, ended up going into that Unitarian Universalist group, which that's what they preach. There's one of them in Sioux Falls. If you drive up Cliff Avenue north towards McKinnon Hospital, you'll see it right there on the right. Anything goes. Everything goes. Whatever you believe, fine. He got into that error. Okay. There's many other examples of conditional. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we use that in prayer. If God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their evil ways, then what? Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Okay, what about the second part, this verse 11 and 12? Unconditional promises. Unconditional means God said it, and it is going to happen. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you believe, what you think, it is going to happen. And look at the verse again, 11. David, one of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. The unconditional part of this promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He's coming. He did come the first time. He fulfilled it in Bethlehem and at the cross, and he's coming again. He guaranteed. All right, the second part of this, verses 13 through 16. The Lord has chosen Zion. Zion at the time was Jerusalem. Zion today is his church, the true believers on the planet. That is Zion. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling. And what does he say? This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. And on it goes there. See, until David was the one that captured the city of Jerusalem in the year 1004 B.C., 1004 B.C., David captured Jerusalem. And God chose that place. Before David captured it, before God chose it, it was just any other ordinary town, a Canaanite city. The Jebusites occupied it. They were a very fierce, warring tribe among the Canaanites, and they had it for years. Centuries, as a matter of fact. And David captures it. Do you know, a lot of you know this, I think, but I think it is so amazing. So David is on the planet 1,000 years before Jesus is born in Bethlehem. You go back 1,000 years the other way, towards the beginning of time, the creation. Go back 1,000 years and you have Abraham on the planet. And when Abraham and Sarah, when Sarah finally gave birth to her son Isaac, and when he was just a teenager, remember God told Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your only son, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and there offer him as a burnt offering, a sacrifice to me. And you know where the region of Moriah was and is? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. So when Abraham and Isaac left and went on their way and climbed up that hill to Jerusalem, and he built that altar and laid Isaac on there and took that knife up, that was right in the very vicinity of where Jesus hung on that cross. That, to me, is so incredible. Amazingly incredible. How can, you know, all of God's word so perfectly lines up, all the timing of everything. How could a person doubt it? It's just on and on. Things like that are throughout the scriptures again and again. So the first part of this verse, though, in 13 through 16, back to that, it's talking about his church. He's talking ahead about his church. This is going to be my resting place forever and ever, and here I will sit enthroned. Jesus is the head of his church. Universal, we say it in the Apostles' Creed, right? I believe in the one holy Christian church. That's the universal church, all the believers on the planet, no matter what local church we go to. Right? Thank goodness in heaven there's no denominations. It's just Jesus. And our eyes will be opened to the full truth of his word. And there won't be the little, oh, I'm not worshiping with you because this, you know, little piddly things. Sure, there are major things we stand on, of course, that Jesus is the only way and many other things beyond that. But he's the head of the church. And in the church, his church, we endeavor to honor him and exalt him as Lord of all and to worship him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for who he is. We as well are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Maybe somebody could have put a fan on. I know I'm getting a little warm too all of a sudden. I see some fans going here. Whew. Second part is, he is speaking of the New Jerusalem in these verses. This is my resting place. God has chosen Jerusalem. Even though on the Temple Mount, the Muslims occupy that site where God's temple was, where his presence was so manifest, where his glory filled that place. When we were there, I've told you this before, but when we were there, the closest that we could go, or for that matter, really, even a Jewish person, the closest they can go is the Western Wall of that old city. The Wailing Wall, they call it. Why wailing? Because the priests, the Jewish priests, even today, they go there and weep and wail. They're waiting for the Messiah. One day their eyes are going to be open that Jesus is their Messiah. But for me, one of the most moving times of that trip in Israel, which, you know, that was 5 years ago. I relived that so often. Thank you all again. That was incredible. Being there, I wept at that place. Just thinking of what took place on the other side of that wall. Through the centuries of the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the Shekinah glory of God. I just wept there. And one day, it will be there again, God's temple. It will be. And that speaks of the New Jerusalem. In Revelation 21, he describes it. Look, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. This right here it is, listen. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Every time you're at a wedding, you ought to think about this. We've got one coming up in a couple weeks. Trevor sitting right here. And his bride, I always think of that when the bride's coming down that aisle and is so beautiful. All the work that goes into that, which I never learned until my own daughter got married. And the practice haircuts and the practice makeup sessions. And then that morning starting so early. And all through that, I'm like, Lord, I'm thank you that I'm a guy. The guys just show up, oh, yeah, are we late for pictures? Just about, get your tux on, oh, okay, oh, how do I do these cufflinks? I don't know, how do I put this thing on? I don't know, okay, we're ready. We got it easy and that part of things. But that's a picture of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Picture of the church. And it says there, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. The city is being described as that here. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. That's what he intended from the beginning. When all was perfect in the Garden of Eden and he walked with them and talked with them, it says in Genesis, in the cool of the day, and all was perfect. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, until the sin entered in and man died spiritually that day. But this time, it is going to be. See, and even with Israel, the nation of Israel, they were a theocracy, meaning God ruled. That was his intent. Today we are a democracy, right? Yeah. So, but it's going to be, he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or any crying or mourning or pain, for the old order of things as it is now has passed away. Wow. And you know the dimensions of that city? 1,400 miles square. 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles high. That's pretty high. And it will be glorious. And we will be there if we know the Lord. So just in this, I know there's so much more in it, but just in a nutshell, what we as his people, think of the conditions of the promises. There's many of them as we follow his word. There are unconditional promises. His second coming is one of them. The rapture of the church is one of them. That's first what we're waiting for to happen. It's gonna happen. You just be ready. Be ready. Be right with the Lord. And when Jesus comes in the clouds and that trumpet sounds, the church is going to be caught up in the air. Thessalonians talks about it. And we will forever be with the Lord. And it's going to be some chaos on the planet for the next 7 years of the tribulation until Christ returns to Jerusalem and sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives. Exciting, isn't it? It is exciting. Could it be in our lifetime? It could. Might it not be? It might not be. We don't know. That's why I said it'll be like the thief in the night when he returns. Got to be ready every day that we live our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all your promises to us as we endeavor to live on this earth, in this world, according to your word. Give us strength to do it. Give us strength to resist the enemy of our souls, the devil. And we do resist him in your name, Jesus, the name that is above every name. And give us strength to walk with you as we wait with anticipation for your second coming. I thank you for everyone gathered here, Lord. And I pray if there is one that does not know you, that they'd call out to you this morning, that their names could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life that you speak of, that we sing about. Open our eyes to see the glories of your word and to walk with you and to long for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so we're going to sing about that when the roll is called up yonder. A great old hymn, 774. 774. Let's stand together. Christ, we can know that, not because of who we are, but because of who he is and what he has done. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Stay for coffee hour if you can. Thank you, Jennifer.